Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Big show. We're live at the amazing Studio B, Bowser Chevy Monroeville, in about 20 minutes. Mason Heinschel, the freshman phenom at Pitt, 5-0, ranked in the college football playoff top 25, getting ready to take on Notre Dame at home a week from Saturday in front of 68,000-plus fans, is going to sit down with us. He's done two interviews, one with John Gruden and us. That's it.
Well, technically, he's only done one so far until he does this one. Then he'll have done two.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
I'm just
Is that really needed?
Yeah, I'm just being pedantic to start the show.
So you're being yourself is what's going on. You're being Chris Mueller.
Yeah, day that ends in Y. That's correct.
So that's coming your way soon. We just heard DK Metcalf, and he admitted that, yeah, I get double teamed all the time. At some point, teams are going to start respecting the other guys. Well, we're halfway through the season, and they haven't yet. So why would they change that? The Steelers didn't bring in someone to make his life or job any easier. I couldn't detect peeved off in his voice, but I don't think he's thrilled that there still isn't like a real viable receiving threat on the other side to take some of the load off his plate. I do think it's interesting in talking to a mole today.
A mole?
Yes.
I'm the one who has moles. Mole. You just have sources.
Through my FanDuel work, I do know some people out in LA from having worked for them. And so they're into the Chargers and Rams. And Penning, who comes over from the Saints right at the buzzer, it was the last move of the deadline because the Chargers are without their top two tackles. The scuttlebutt there is this guy's going to start at left tackle on Sunday. And I'm going to be really ticked off if the Chargers win this game, they get good pass protection, and they credit the guy they got at the 11th hour and 59-minute mark of the trade deadline. You know, if he gets a game ball or something like that afterwards, Chris, that's going to hack me off because they went out and did something to help an ailing part of their team. I was talking to a former Steeler, second pat on the back of myself here in terms of doing work for the show. Did you have any important conversations pre-show you want to tell us about? Anything?
No, important people generally avoid me like the plague, I would say.
That's not true. Summer of Malsy is extending into November, so...
Well, that's mainly with the endorsements, which Donnie, back at the studio, Donnie, where do the endorsements ooze out of?
Coming out of the pores, baby.
Yes.
Thanks, Don.
People want to talk to and do work with Chris Mueller. Let's not pretend here. This is what a former Steeler, and I will give this part away, who has championship hardware said about the inactivity at the trade deadline. His point to me was this. If the Steelers' defense stunk against the Colts on Sunday, again, and they put forth another brutal performance, and they were going into this game at 4-4, and the lead in the division over the Ravens had been winnowed down to one game. This person's opinion was the following. I don't think Tomlin would have done nothing. I think he would have gone out and found help for his defense because that's his baby. And he's going to keep throwing money and resources and bodies at that until it gets turned around. And this person's opinion was he just doesn't do the same thing with their offense. Like the offense, Rodgers admitted it. They did not play a good game against the Colts. They were the beneficiary of great defensive play. They averaged under 2 yards a carry. Rodgers threw the ball downfield more than 10 yards 3 times. Metcalf had 6 receiving yards. If the defense had the equivalent of that kind of game, this former Steeler thinks we would have a new corner or a new linebacker or a new defensive lineman in the building this week. Do you agree with that?
Not necessarily, because they brought Kyle Duggar in the previous week.
But if Duggar didn't fix things.
I don't know. I mean, I think that I need to almost know, is this a person who, broadly speaking, probably would have liked playing for Mike Tomlin, or one of the many people who played for him who didn't actually like him all that much by the end of it?
I don't know.
Because I think a lot of stuff that gets said about Mike Tomlin quietly is people who maybe don't like him. Now, Ben Roethlisberger will just throw shade at him publicly, which I respect Ben for just deciding he's going to go out and do. But, man, at some point, I think you'd have to say, like, enough is enough if you're Omar Khan. Like, the idea that Mike just runs roughshod in there if their defense gets strafed again, like he's the Kool-Aid man and says, bring me somebody, damn it.
Yeah.
I need somebody. Like, he's Vince McMahon or something. That almost just, like, just serves to, like, put Mike again as, like, this boogeyman who doesn't get it, who gets to do whatever he wants.
I mean, Chris, they're working out another corner. I mean, they're working out another guy. They're bringing Asante Samuel, okay. And he's in terms of what
well,
he
so
can
Well, so is half the rest of the NFL, to be fair. Working out Asante Samuel. He might not even get here because he might sign with the team.
Fair enough.
When he gets to the Steelers.
Fair enough, but they're still turning over stones for defense.
I mean, they did bring MVS on, and I think MVS is going to end up being their offensive thing because it's going to end up dovetailing with Aaron Rodgers, who is Mike Tomlin's big offensive baby that he brought in. I think that's how they look at it. We have Aaron
Wait a
Rodgers.
Minute, time out. So are you saying you think internally they might actually think MVS is like just as good as Jacoby Myers?
I think they think MVS is going to have a not transformative effect, but because they obviously don't think he's the equal of Myers if they even inquired about Jacoby Myers once they had him.
That's what I was going to say.
But I think that they feel like he's good enough.
Do you agree with them?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So this is just devil's advocate on your part? That's what it sounds like a little bit. I mean,
I guess I reject the premise that every time it's got to go back to, and I'm critical of Mike. I've been more critical of Mike than most people, probably
right.
Maybe only next to you. But I guess I reject the premise that he constantly, like, he's this almost internal saboteur because he's so obsessed with his defense and so humiliated when they don't play well.
But you say all those things about him.
That he's going to make, like, that he's going to be permitted, by the way, to make, like, rash decisions that he forces to happen above Art Rooney's head when the defense doesn't play well.
I don't know if that's a fair I don't know if I completely you might be completely misunderstanding what I'm saying. The point this player was trying to make was Mike would have fought a lot harder for them to add a defensive player.
No, I understand that that's the point.
And you disagree with that is what it sounds like.
I think Mike added a defensive player in Kyle Duggar and sang his
praises. I know, but I just said if they were coming off a bad defensive game against the Colts, you think he would have looked at it and said, Kyle Duggar's still enough? I don't think he would have.
I don't think he would have gone out and forced them to find another defensive player. I don't. I think they would have said, well, we're getting Kyle Duggar more up to speed or whatever after, you know, our communication's going to get better. We're going to do X, Y, and Z better, and it's going to work out for us. I don't think he would have just pounded the table and said, you must.
I mean, can you at least understand why even former Steelers players are just nonplussed by the lack of aggression to get another offensive guy in here?
Yes.
Okay. That we can agree on. It is confounding to people who even played for the Steelers that it didn't happen. And they're trying to come up with reasons for why it went down the way that it did. And that's one of the things that got cited. There seems to be internally with Tomlin in charge way more of a push to put eggs in defensive baskets than offensive ones. I mean, I know that if they brought Metcalf in here, that's obviously that helped.
The only other option would be they didn't feel the need to pay for a Jacoby Myers, or they decided to stop themselves short there, because despite him saying Roman Wilson was boneheaded down the stretch in that game on the fumble play, they're starting to really like him. That's the only other interpretation or inference I could make, is that they think Roman Wilson's going to start developing into a legitimate, not wide receiver two in the purest sense, not certainly not Jacoby Myers, but somebody within the scope of their offense who's going to fit what they want to do.
Do you agree with that?
I think he's got a chance.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
I think there's a chance that he's starting to figure it out a little
bit. Malzi is taking at least a step or two onto the bandwagon after the guy did one of the dumbest things we've ever seen at the end of a game.
I'm not going to let that play define him completely. Yeah.
Why? That one play's defined Caleb Johnson's career to this point.
Yeah, there's like brain farts, and then there's like a whole nother tier that it's like a separate mountain of brain farts.
Yeah.
And that's where Caleb Johnson sits. I mean, one is at least a guy with the ball in his hands trying to make a play. The other is a guy not realizing that he was supposed to put the ball in his hands and try to make a play.
I am being purposely argumentative because I
couldn't
still, days later, am disappointed that nothing got done.
Do you think Jacoby Myers would have made them a serious contender if they had done
much closer? Yes.
Defined much closer.
I think
where do you put them right now? I'll be argumentative. Where do you put them right this second in the AFC hierarchy? Name as many teams as you need to name that you think are better than them.
Bills. I think when Lamar's available, Ravens. I think if they had to play the Colts in Indy, I would absolutely take the Colts, even though they beat them here handily.
That's
Chiefs.
Four. Are the Patriots better than them?
Right now, with the way Drake May's playing, yes. Yeah, I'd say so.
Do we have any other ones that you haven't said
yet? Let's see the Chargers on Sunday.
How about Denver?
I would put Denver ahead of them, but I wouldn't put the Chargers yet.
Okay, so they're seventh right now.
Yeah.
If they had Jacoby Myers in the fold.
Yep.
And does Jacksonville leapfrog them with the same record and now having Jacoby Myers?
No, not yet, but they're close.
If they have Jacoby Myers, of the six teams that are better than them right now on your list, who would they have leapfrogged already on paper?
I don't know if they have to leapfrog anybody on paper. I mean, you're allowed to improve your team and not, okay, just because you didn't pass this team in some subjective power ranking that I have in my head doesn't mean that it's still not a good move. I'm starting to from you that you think maybe standing pat wasn't that big of a mistake.
No, I don't think it was a good move by them. I do think that there's a disconnect. There's like three different disconnects here. How people view them at 5-3 internally in this town, where it's always, I think, some degree of hope springs eternal. And then there's this, where they are 16th in the betting odds.
Right.
And then their own internal perception, where you get a dovetailing of, are they all in? Doesn't seem like they're all in with the moves they're not making, but they always they talked about it internally. And then it's all in for what? Are you trying to win a championship? Well, then you damn sure should have gotten Jacoby Myers, because he's better than anybody else, not named DK Metcalf on your roster.
This is a very easy question to answer. If this year is not that this year has to matter, because if it doesn't, you wouldn't play a 41-year-old quarterback, because he has no future with your team.
They don't necessarily seem to think that. I think they feel like right now they want him to play here next year.
Okay, so then it's a 2-year window. But when you only have a 2-year window, obviously the results of this season matter.
Do you actually think that they're looking at it with that much of a defined plan? Because I don't. I think that they are still holding on to whatever degree they can to the idea that, well, we'll staple Aaron Rodgers onto this roster with this defense and maybe we'll catch lightning in a bottle. I just think they're allergic to the idea of planning more than 5 feet ahead of them. Like, if they're taking a trip.
But they did, though. They did plan more than 5 feet ahead of them, because they decided to keep a 4th and 6th round pick over a guy that could help them now.
You're
so
right.
They did.
They do have the chance to get the next Logan Lee now, and they would have forfeited that.
Right? I mean, they...
Or the next Colin Holba, if they really played their cards.
They did think about April over games right now.
For a 6th round pick, I wouldn't call that much planning ahead. I mean, this goes back to, well, now we're getting all the way back to, is it Mike Tomlin who would have done this if it was for his defense and he didn't care as much about the offense? Or is it Art Rooney vetoing everything because he can't wait to have his big, shiny draft here? That's probably still the more plausible one if I had to pick which of those would be likelier to happen. Art looks at that as a big business event. The Steelers are on display.
Yeah.
They're going to pick their quarterback. They might even pick a wide receiver in what looks like it's a decent class on paper right now, like a deeper class.
I just think about this, just to tie a bow on this before Mason comes in with us. Like, think about the defensive equivalent of Myers. Like, let's say there was a guy that you looked at as a legitimate number two corner that was out there. Okay? Like, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Big time upgrade over Slay and the other guys they have.
Okay.
And all it would have taken was a fourth and sixth round pick to get him. I think Mike Tomlin is jumping on the table to get the guy.
Do you think he gets the last say there then? Do you think if he says we are getting this guy?
No, I don't think he gets the last say, but I think he's extremely persuasive in the owner and GM's ear to make it happen.
I mean, I don't even know if he has to persuade the owner. The owner just go, Mike, do you want to do this? Great.
I'm just saying.
Well, by that, I guess by what I just said there, then, if Mike had said, I want to get Jacoby Myers, maybe the owner overrules everybody and says, make it happen.
Yeah. I think Mike liked Jacoby Myers. I don't think Mike loved him, is the bottom line.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
There. Listen to the PM team on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're at Bowser Chevy, Monroeville, our home away from home, Studio B. And you're hearing the dulcet sounds of the Pitt Pep Band playing the fight song because Pitt freshman phenom quarterback Mason Heinschel's in studio with us. This is the first time we're getting to meet each other. Hello, Mason.
How we doing?
He's a first and last name guy we discovered off the air. Mason Heinschel, nice to meet you. It's just mature beyond his years already, Pony.
You're wearing your jersey because you're doing photo stuff here, I'm guessing.
Yes, sir.
You don't just wear your jersey around Pittsburgh.
I mean, what a flex that would be.
I try not to.
Were you a Jersey kid growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. I was... you know, I had a couple of different NBA and NFL jerseys. I remember my two favorite ones. I had the red Patrick Mahomes Pro Bowl jersey the year they had the red with like the yellow and the and the number. And then I actually have a Duncan Robinson Miami Heat jersey, the pink and blue. So I thought those were my two.
Did you play basketball?
I did. I wasn't very good, but you know I played good defense and passed the ball well. So couldn't shoot. You know, a lot of quarterbacks are shooters. That is not me. I'm not one.
Really? So you were more of like a glue guy on the basketball court?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No defense was first, but yeah, no jump shot for me.
And so your high school didn't make you just focus on football?
Yeah. No, they actually encouraged us to play multiple sports.
That's cool.
And I was football, basketball, baseball up until about my freshman year. And, you know, it was tough for me to quit baseball, my dad being a baseball guy. But, you know, that was probably the best decision for me.
So what did you grow up? You're near Toledo, basically, right?
Yep.
For Oregon, Ohio, I think it is.
Yes, sir.
And that's near Toledo, which is right near the state line. So are you like a Pistons, Michigan? Like, what are the childhood
fandoms
here? Yeah, what
Red
are you
Wings.
Going after?
This is a great question because this is going to catch you guys way off guard. I'm actually a Tennessee Titans fan.
Oh, no.
Wait, I know the answer to this because you like Mariota.
That's right. Yep.
How about that? He followed Marcus Mariota. And you didn't leave them, even though he's on the Commanders.
Now, how much did you love the Titans, though? Because that's one of the worst-looking jerseys in professional sports. Did you actually get Titans stuff?
You think so? I love the Titans.
Well, hold on.
I'm with Chris on
this. Hold on.
We're older. We don't like
Mason,
it.
Mason, we're old farts and like...
We like the Oilers one better.
Yeah, the Oilers is like very nice.
I wanted to get an Oilers Cam Ward jersey really bad, and I haven't done it yet, but I think, you know, we're struggling right now. But,
yes.
You know, I think in the next couple of years, we'll be okay.
So you're just spinning tales of Frank Wycheck and old guys like that
absolutely.
From back in the
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Like, how many times would you say you've watched the Music City Miracle on YouTube?
Multiple times. Multiple times, 100%.
So you were so into the Titans, like Derrick Henry, Tannehill playoff games against the Ravens and Chiefs and stuff. You're big time into those games.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when we upset them in 19 at their place, I remember Jonnu Smith caught a wheel route to the boundary. And then we took the top off to Khalif Raymond. And that was a great time. And, you know, we should have won the next week versus Kansas
Got
City.
Got the big lead.
Yeah.
No, we blew that one. That one was frustrating.
All right, I'm starting to see some of the high-level mental quarterback traits because funny joke on this show is Donnie, who is our producer who's not here, he's on site, and Pony both watch a ton of old football games.
Absolutely.
And you are rattling off stuff from that game like rat-a-tat-tat.
Oh, I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah?
That was one of the better days of my life for sure.
I love it. This is an amazing deep dive into Titans
lore
here.
So your dad played baseball at Michigan. They bring it up on every game you play in.
Yeah.
How did he feel about you? How did he not push you towards baseball? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, that was a tough talk with him. You know, like I said, his love was always baseball. And you know, as a kid, I really enjoyed baseball. But you know, him and I talked a lot about how slow baseball is. You know, I don't like to sit still, and you know, I'm always on the go. And you know, baseball was just not for me. And I also wasn't the most talented baseball player. And so when we talked about that, he understood. He knew where my love was, and he knew that football had a future for me, and I had a future in football. And so, you know, he never really – he was upset but not against it. You know what I mean? He was always on board with what I wanted to do and always had my best interest in mind.
How far into your high school football career did you – not even you and your father, just you start to think, hey, I can play this sport at the highest, at the FBS level. Like, if I keep going the way I think I'm going, this is going to be possible for me. When did that click for you?
I would say earlier than everybody else thought. I, you know, as a freshman and sophomore, I thought I had the ability to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously colleges didn't think so until about halfway into my junior season. And so, you know, that always helped me, too, just to play with that chip on my shoulder and, you know, having that extra motivation to, you know, prove people wrong. And I think that's kind of made me the person that I am and why I'm here today.
So one of the things I wanted to ask building off of that is we've heard the stories ever since you took over as the starter and you've lit it up. Some of the whispering from people who follow the program was like, well, we're not totally shocked because Mason was impressing his teammates and practices. You get onto campus, you're playing. It's a different level of athlete across the board. What's it like to go in there? And I assume on some level, just at practice, no, you're running scout team, you're running third team, but you're doing all right out there and you're getting your teammates' attention. Like, can you describe that feeling as a true freshman being in that spot and realizing guys are taking notice of you for the right reasons?
Absolutely. I think it was great to kind of get that validation and to, you know, get that kind of sense that, okay, I can play at this level. And then obviously, you know, when we come out in the Boston College game, you march down the field and score on the first drive. That that kind of raises the confidence level for sure. You know, you get that feedback from your boys during practice and all that kind of stuff, and that helps for sure. But, you know, you never really know until you step out on the field and kind of perform at that level. And, you know, I'm just glad we were able to come out of there with a win. And, you know, we had a really great offensive game, and, you know, just continue to stack those games and keep winning.
Who's the coach at Pitt that we should send a fruit basket to? Do they still do that, Chris? Fruit bat? What?
Like maybe an edible arrangement or like a candy gram, maybe.
Yeah, who's the guy who spotted you?
Yeah, all kudos to Coach Bell. You know, he kind of found me.
So how did you get on his radar? Do you know the story?
I'm honestly not too sure. I've never really asked about how they found me, but, you know.
Were you playing in big games against other highly recruited kids?
No, not really. I mean, we had a couple of schools in our area that, you know, had some guys that have gone on to play at the next level and play at some pretty well-known schools. But, you know, like, it was always – I always felt like I was the under-recruited guy, and, you know.
What kind of offense did you run? Were you throwing it 30, 40 times a game?
Yeah. We never really had a run game in high school. I mean, no, not to diss on our backs, because, you know, I love those guys. And, you know, our offensive line, we did what we could with what we had. And so, you know, we threw the ball all over the yard. But, you know, it's kind of helped me get to where I'm at today and, you know, to help prepare me for our offense now.
Who is a quarterback other than Mariota? Okay, so yep. Take it like anybody in Ryan Tannehill. I'm taking all players who might have suited up for the Tennessee Titans. Absolutely. In the last two decades. Who's somebody else? You strike me as a guy, I'm just guessing here, who's watched some old games in his day. You've thrown on NFL Network.
Yeah.
Who's somebody whose game you admire? Not even model it yourself necessarily after, but you've enjoyed watching as like a true just football fan.
And you're saying you want me to go like kind of back in.
You can do whatever you want with that question.
It can be anybody. It could be somebody who just played in the last like couple of years, is still playing, or just somebody if you've watched old games that you're like, man, I like the way he plays the position. Maybe I'm not going to model my game after it, but I enjoy watching it.
Right. You know, I think if I'm going based off now, I'd say Joe Burrow. I mean, we talk a lot about Joe Burrow just in our quarterback room and just how he plays and, you know, how efficient he is as a passer. And, you know, I really like watching Justin Herbert, too, another Oregon guy. But, you know, Justin Herbert, I think, is a baller. And, you know, he's a big dude, and he's got that strong arm. You know, he can rip it for sure. But honestly, anybody back in the old day, you know, I think – a big one is Drew Brees. We talk a lot about Drew Brees, too. You know, he's a smaller guy, but, you know, he's such an efficient quarterback.
Most accurate dude ever.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he gets the ball out, and, you know, he sees the field really well, and, you know, he understands when to take your shots, and when, you know, it's not there, just check it down and move on to the next play.
By the way, how's that process been for you? Because you've given Pat, like, the perfect head coach, like, level of performances, an occasional turnover, but in a comfy win. So I would imagine he's like, oh, yeah, good, but.
Yep.
So how's he been with all of that? Just in that process for you in general, too.
Right, yeah, no, it's been tough for me. You know, it's I have a tendency to try and be really aggressive and, you know, trying to push the ball downfield. And I think that's something that I have to learn and get better at is, you know, just taking what the defense gives me. You know, if they're playing a lot of deep zone, just to check it down and move on. You know, talk a lot about that with Coach Bell and Coach Dews. And, you know, he, you know, this past week, even at Stanford, you know, we were in a comfortable position, but, you know, can't turn the ball over, especially in the red zone. You got to be much cleaner with that. And, you know, I take full responsibility for those. Those were dumb mistakes that can't happen. Just trying to do too much and extend a play when, you know, like I said, just move on to the next play. And, you know, we got more downs to go in and score. So just things that, I mean, you can afford to do. I mean, it's not something you want to do, but you can afford to do in a game like that where you have a lead and you're moving on to the next week. So just take that and learn from it and get better.
How has your life changed as an 18-year-old since you became Pitt's starting quarterback?
I can't lie. It's been a lot more stressful for sure. But, you know, I'm trying to manage that as best as I can. You know, I have a great support staff around me. And, you know, when it comes to my coaches and teammates, you know, they do a great job of just keeping me level. And then just a big shout out to my family. You know, they help so much to just keep.
They show your dad at every game. He's got the jersey on like you're wearing now. Oh, he's into it.
Absolutely. They're so supportive of me and everything that I do. And, you know, they'll always have my back. And I think the biggest thing with that is they also keep me grounded and keep me humble as well. You know, can't let me get too high. Can't let me get too low. They keep me at a perfect medium of just, you know, just continuing to be grateful for where I'm at and striving to be better.
How do you balance, though, I think wanting to stay grounded like anyone would, but you're the quarterback. Everyone's looking to you to be confident. And so there's a fine line that everyone talks about walking between confidence and cockiness. So
absolutely.
Are you sound like a guy, too, just talking to you for a couple minutes, who's probably cognizant of that specific part of this whole thing. So how do you manage that?
You know, I think it's I think a big part of it is, you know, trying to stay as humble as I can and, you know, as confident as a person as I am, just trying not to be too cocky about it, like you said. But I think the big thing for me is when you step in between the lines, that confidence level and that kind of
like swagger. Okay.
Yeah, are you a talker?
No, I don't. Unless somebody talks to me on the field, I try to avoid all that kind of stuff. But you know, I'm not afraid to jaw back at somebody if they give me a little.
Which of your offensive teammates, if you don't mind throwing somebody slightly under the bus in a funny way, who of your offensive teammates is the funniest yapper at opposing defenses?
Funniest. Oh, that's a great question. You know, I've heard everybody say some funny things, and you know, I can't. There was something that somebody said this
past
week.
Yeah, you probably can't. Yeah, yeah. You know, I can already tell you're like self-centering, which is fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't remember who it was, but I think it was one of the offensive linemen. But they said something to somebody, and it was like right after a play. And I'm thinking I'm trying to get the call in and communicate with them, and I'm chuckling mid-play because I'm like, all right, that was kind of funny. Like I gotta give him props. That was pretty good.
You've got a bye week, and then Notre Dame. For you might not know this, there's so many Irish Catholic people in Pittsburgh. There's like a huge Notre Dame fan base.
Yep.
And Chris and I and Donnie, who's back at Green Tree, have talked about this. Like every sports fan in Pittsburgh has a family member who's a diehard Notre Dame fan, yep. Cousin, uncle, brother. It just happens. As a guy growing up in Ohio, is that true of you? Like, is there someone that's going to have to like pretend that they don't want Notre Dame to win because of you on Saturday?
Absolutely. I have plenty of friends and family members who will be at the game. And you know, I'm talking to them about it. They're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to wear. And I'm like, I mean, I think you'd come to support me and us as a team. But, you know, they're talking about how they'll wear a little bit of both. I'm like, you can't do that. Like,
I agree with you.
Brady Quinn, what was that? Brady Quinn's sister tried to do that when they played Ohio State.
Because she was dating AJ Hawk. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So really? She wore a split jersey.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, right down the middle.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer, and you got to pick one and roll with it. And so, you know, I think those guys, you know, I give my buddies a lot of crap. You know, I think they're going to be cheering for Notre Dame, but I think they want me to play well.
I respect the pick one and roll with it, too. And you've picked the Tennessee Titans. I want to just remind you. So, like, you really are loyal about this.
I'm rolling.
You really are.
We're tumbling.
You're more rolling in it right now there. But, you know, obviously, we didn't coach or play in the NFL. I do have to ask. This is the second interview, I think, you have done. You've probably seen all of the John Gruden crazy person clips. Spider 2, why banana? He's freaking out. What was he like to actually talk to and pick his, you know, kind of go back?
He had his pick gear on.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, he's a great guy. You know, he's full of knowledge. So to just be able to kind of share that and, you know, get that kind of FaceTime with him and experience what that's like and just what, you know, what he's gone through and, you know, the amount of wisdom that he has is just, it's insurmountable. And it's great to kind of gain that from somebody who knows the game so well. And, you know, it's also just a great person in general. Like, you know, he's very easy to talk to and, you know, he's a great guy. And I think he's going to be here next week for the Notre Dame game.
Ooh.
He says he's coming to the game. So that'll be awesome as well.
Bye week for you. What's the balance of take some time to maybe unplug versus, oh, I actually get extra time to get ready for a game, so I want to take advantage of that?
Absolutely. It's, you know, just trying to balance that and manage that. Like you said, you know, trying to get ahead on Notre Dame because, you know, this is they're a really tough team and a great opponent, and we're excited for this opportunity. But, you know, also it's
Do you do film every day?
Yeah. Yeah, I try and stay after and watch as much.
He's got Khalif Raymond on, like, the wheel route, like, top memory. I think he's watching film all the time.
Is it hours or is it work smart, not hard? Like, what's...
Usually it's hours. You know, I'm trying to spend as much time in the facility as I can just to be around and trying to gain as much knowledge on our opponent and just to try and stay ready. Cause you know, I've only played 5 games and,
yeah.
You know, just to try and get as much experience as I can to stay ready for that. But you know, also just trying to manage my mental and physical health as well. You know, with this bye week, I think this is perfect for us to get back and healthy as a team. And then, you know, also kind of just clear my head, and you know, this has been a tough stretch for us. You know, I'm glad we've come out with 5 straight wins, but you know, we're excited to stack those and keep it going. And so, you know, this is a great time for the bye week for us.
I got one more non-football, but one more football before that, and that's this one. You know, Florida State, they beat Alabama in the opening week of the season. They kind of throttle them too. So
yep.
Okay, they're back. Everyone assumes, and obviously they've gotten dinged around since then. But you go into Doak Campbell. That is one of the bigger, like, hallowed grounds of college football. And I didn't look at the upper deck that day. I don't know if they showed it on TV, but like, what's it like going into that early in your career, into that environment against that team with that tradition and everything else, and coming out on the other side?
It was great. It's a lot of pressure going into that game, but you know, that was one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever been a part of. And this is early in my playing career, but you know, this is that was such a. You know, those are things that you dream of as a kid, and those are the moments that you live for, and you know, this is the moments that we prepare for all off season. So to be able to experience that, you know, I was telling somebody about this the other day. There was a moment where we got the ball like inside our own 5 or 10 yard line, and we're walking out onto the field to start our drive.
Yeah.
And you know, the war chant starts, and it's like, I mean, you can't hear a thing.
Right.
And that's like as like, you know, as stressful as that is, it's the coolest thing ever. And, you know, that's something that, you know, only so many people can experience and get to live for. So, you know, that was awesome. And, you know, to come out of there with a win, you know, that was such a great momentum booster and such a great thing for our guys. It's just to come out of there in a hostile environment and get a win. That's everything you can ask for.
This is the other non-football one then. Like, my mom, Catholic school teacher for 30 years, taught forensics, which is public speaking. I have to ask this. Like, did you do any of that growing up? Because he and I do it for a living, and we're comfortable, but it's not often that we talk to somebody your age who, frankly—
Who's very at ease and confident doing this.
Who's at ease, who's polished in this setting. I mean, I have talked to players from Pitt before who were older than you are now, who just— nice guys who Absolutely. Were just a
freeze
little
up
more,
in these situations.
Who are a little more reticent in these situations. So why is Mason Heinschel so comfortable in this setting?
I think it's partly because I've done a lot of these already. You know, when you get that kind of experience, it makes it easier. But you know, there were a couple classes that I took, you know, in high school and all that kind of stuff that kind of helped with that. Like, you know, I took a humanities class in high school that, you know, we did a lot of like public speaking and, you know, on stage talk, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just to kind of get that experience. It definitely helps for things like these for sure. But, you know, just trying to be, you know, I think of myself as a confident person. So, you know, just trying to sound confident and talk in a manner that makes me sound a little smarter than I actually am definitely helps for sure. But
how far away from Toledo were you when you, your hometown?
It's about 10 minutes away.
It's right there.
So
it's the battle of Maumee Bay.
Yeah, so now we go to Walleye and Mud Hens games all the time.
Okay. Cause I was going to say, now we have two Toledo quarterbacks that are friends of the show.
Big
the
Bruce
all-time
G.
greatest Toledo Rocket quarterback was a co-host of this show, Bruce Gradkowski.
Bruce Gradkowski, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He coached at a high school that, you know, we used to play against at my high school. It's Toledo St. Francis. So he was
coach. Various offensive coordinator on the air with us.
I think he was there for a year.
Mason, I'm not kidding. When he was coaching them, he would do his call-in hits with us, and he would be like, yeah, our coordinator didn't exactly call what I liked there. And just flat-out crush him. I mean, you're not that far. I'm vaguely familiar with that part of Ohio. You're not that far from a very famous quarterback who played in this town for a long time. What, 45 minutes north
from
of
Ben?
Of Finley,
from
right?
Yeah, we play Finley every year. They had a quarterback come out of there this past year, Ryan Montgomery, who, you know, he's a really talented player. He's at Georgia now. So, you know, we played Finley every year, and you know, we've been through there, you know, playing basketball games. We've been through their gym and all that kind of stuff. They got a lot of recognition for him there. So, you know, he's a really talented player.
Mason, I also want to say thanks. We had our big charity event last week, and you signed a football for it. I got my nipples pierced at it. I don't know if you heard that.
On Twitter. Yep.
Yeah. So I thought it was probably awkward when we hadn't met yet and they came to you and said, we need you to autograph a football for a guy getting his nipples pierced.
Oh, I don't ask questions, so that's all good.
Hey, great to meet you in person. Absolutely. Keep up the good work. We're huge fans. And we'll talk again later in the year, hopefully.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys.
Mason Heinschel, everybody. The Pittsburgh game day, Sunday night.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Shiloh, Plate and Pour with Donnie and Jason Mackey, brought to you by Westminster College, where every student accepted fall 2026 is guaranteed a scholarship. Football Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. This Sunday, we get the Ravens and Vikings at 1 o'clock. Pat Bostic in studio with us. Do you still have friends on the Vikings coaching staff?
I do not. No, he's with my buddies with the Seahawks now.
Well, so that team looks like they're cooking a little bit.
I wouldn't say, I don't know if he got fired, but if he did, he failed up.
He was in Minnesota. Andrew Janoco was in Chicago and then New Orleans last year, and now Seattle. He's following Clint Kubiak around. Yep, that's his boy.
We were talking off the air about Heinchel, who was just incredible in here with us. And I forgot that he was at spring camp with Pitt. You think that made a big difference for him?
Yeah, I mean, he was at the bowl game in Detroit. You know, he made the trip up 45 minutes, graduated in early December, and came up and went through bowl practice and was a part of it. He couldn't play in the game, obviously, but he was ready to go, and then came in January and was in there at 7 a.m. throwing with receivers every day. So he's been pretty well ingrained for a number of months now.
Well, it's interesting. The thing that struck me about him, besides the obvious, which is just incredibly well-spoken, like just thoughtful kid at his age, and mm-hmm. then we find out he takes public
like you, Pat. You were 18 going on 35 at that point in your life.
Yeah.
The funny thing about him, though, with what's happened so far in his Pitt career, is he even mentions chip on the shoulder, felt he was a little under-recruited, but like usually I would expect that person to kind of have a nasty edge telling it. He manages to be confident, to make it very clear he felt like he was better than he got recruited, and he does not seem like one of those guys who, I guess the only term I can come up with is like a hard ass about it. Like very good natured. Yeah, I thought I got under recruited. Anyway, I went in there and cooked.
Yeah, no, I think he understands the why. I mean, he chose not to go to a private school or transfer in high school because he wanted to play with his buddies at Clay High School and go to the playoffs for the first time in however many years. They were not very good.
Yeah, he very politely made it sound like they were not a great team.
No, and he took them to the playoffs. They never won a playoff game, but he did all that. So
without a running game, which he also very politely mentioned.
He knew what he was trading off, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that was going to be exposure, and but he was found, and obviously Michigan tried to come in a little bit late too when Bryce Underwood was up in the air, but he stayed here and stayed loyal. And I think that's a big part of his story is the loyalty component of it. He is about the right stuff. He's been raised really well by his mom and dad. And
Pat, he's a Tennessee Titans fan, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's
like,
loyalty.
That's loyalty, man.
And we're not talking like Steve McNair, Tennessee
no,
Titans. We're talking about
current Titans.
Yeah, we're talking
not
about,
much to cheer about.
Will Levis.
Yeah, Will yeah. Levis.
Eating bananas with a wrapper on and putting mayonnaise in his coffee.
Mason Rudolph was down there
right?
last year. Not the good Mason Rudolph.
Pat, you and I sat next to each other at the bowl game. I thought Duggar looked good, the kid from here, and then he went to Washington State.
Yep.
And you said these two guys practice with each other, and obviously picked the right guy, and Duggar made the right decision too.
Yeah,
as it turned out,
it did. It worked out. I mean, it was a
crowded. Because I was disappointed when Duggar left initially.
Me too. I thought he had a role in this team, and for whatever reason, that's the world we live in. But it was very clear from the first time that obviously Cade, Bell, and Coach Dews saw him play, and then I saw him throw and play.
Did you like about him right off the bat when you saw him?
The quick release, the arm angles, the anticipation. I mean, he can throw from a phone booth. He can throw it from any different angle. And that is something you just can't – you can train it all you want, but to have the instinct, the recognition to go from eyes to brain to body is so fast. Like, everything fires so fast that it's terrific. It's special. It's unique. And all the other stuff, like, he has so much room to get better on the stuff that you can coach. Right.
And he wants to be coach, it sounds like.
Yeah, situational awareness, footwork, all those things, the ability to make changes at the line of scrimmage. Those are things that, like, he's in basic training right now when it comes to what he can do. But he can make so many plays because of the physical ability he has and the awareness he has. It's very atypical.
Pat, what about his, in your perception of it, you know, obviously having played the position, you can see things and probably guess what's going through his mind that Pony and I just can't. He was talking about, like, Khalif Raymond and stuff that Pony would say, recalling, like, pro games. And I'm wondering, do you see when you watch his game, like, the sight of a guy that is really understanding already? You said basic training, but has for an 18-year-old, a very high-level understanding of what he's actually seeing and what he's trying to defeat on the other side.
Yeah, he's a football junkie, which is, I mean, he's
like
in there.
Like a film room guy.
He's too. In there at 7 a.m. He was in there at 7 a.m., 7:30 a.m. on Mondays when he was the third quarterback, you know, let alone being the starter. And that was, I heard you guys talking about people not being surprised. That was the people I talked to in the facility on the air and off. We're not surprised because of the preparation. And this entire freshman class around him, I give him a lot of credit. There's a lot of those freshmen are doing big things. They were all in there together. He was clearly the leader of the pack. And again, it's one thing to be able to watch, like my career, I could watch it, understand it, apply it on a whiteboard. To go out there and then have it turn into action,
yeah,
is that's a whole nother level. And he's doing it better than any freshman I think I've ever witnessed.
The thing that's changed, obviously, about the world you live in, college football now that we watch, is. In the past, when you were playing and when we were in college, you know, oh my God, we've got him now for three years
minimum, yeah. And the NFL's going to be the next portal.
Not just Mason, but you've got to recruit these guys who are in your program 365 now.
Yeah, no, it's
right. I mean, you got to keep a guy happy even once you get him.
Yeah, it's a whole different dynamic, and you know, I think we try to pride ourselves at Pitt of getting the right kind of kids, but there's so many influences out there. There's so many options. There's so much to lure them. That you have to remind them of how good they have it and of the opportunity they have here at a place like Pitt. Like, right, we're not the biggest program. We don't have a 100,000-seat stadium. We're not in the SEC or the Big Ten, but all those things. But how many examples of players that played here and played at the highest level and are all-time greats are there? And I think this young man realizes for sure at the quarterback position that what he's doing is unique, highly unique. He's being reminded of it probably every day.
Yeah.
But the things he can do here, if he parlays it into success at Pitt, which is will not have been replicated. I mean, he's on a pace right now that'll break every record in a 3-year period of time that's ever been set at Pitt. And he could. I mean, you surround him with some players in the offseason, some beef up the offensive line a little bit. I mean. All of a sudden, you're a preseason Heisman contender and an ACC championship favorite.
I would imagine he, you know, keep him around, and he makes it easier to bring in some of those
guys. And the offensive coordinator, too, Pat.
Because they also want to play with a guy like him now. You see him here. Okay, yeah, I do want to.
But they keep this up. The OC's going to have big looks, too.
There's no question.
Head coaching and assistant jobs in the SEC and whatnot.
That's all part of it, and that's all part of having success. And obviously, the continuity is important. It's not a certainty. And I think that's where you have to have high-level conversations about what your strategy is and what you're trying to do and how you sustain success. Obviously, having a freshman quarterback play at this level gives you a huge chance to have success for the foreseeable future. You have to operationalize every component around that to maximize it. It's not no different than the NFL, right? You get a rookie quarterback that's really good. You know, the best are the ones that find a way, the Eagles and so forth, that find a way to surround that person with the environment and the personnel, the system to maximize who they are. And, you know, Pitt, we are in that boat.
Ballsy, don't you think Pat strikes you as a guy who had tons of family members who were like, it's Saturday, we're watching Notre Dame football?
Yes. Yeah, was it touched? Were you a touchdown Jesus household?
I guarantee it.
Yeah, I would go to church every Sunday with my grandparents, Frank and Patricia, God rest their souls, and we would go to breakfast afterwards. This was like my, you know, come down after a Saturday, you know, Friday night football game. I was going to church on Sunday to get right, and every one of those old women and men were just like, "Are you gonna go play for Charlie Weiss?" And like,
oh man,
all this stuff, and I'm like, "No, there's a guy by the name of Jimmy Clausen that's going there. He's a pretty good player." But they went to the Grotto and they did all that stuff. So my first trip to Notre Dame was when we beat them in 08 in four overtimes. So that was my first time there. But
you were watching every game because by extension of your family.
I wasn't. And candidly, Penn State was always on where I grew up. So
true.
It was. But
Notre Dame, it's the Eric Gill game, right? Didn't Eric Gill have a big catch late in that game?
No, that was the.
I'm thinking later.
That was the Palco game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's right. That's right. I got him crossed up.
The 04 game, the famous post game quote that Tyler had.
I do like that Mesa just flat out called out. He's like, "Yeah, of course there are going to be people who are absolutely rooting for Notre Dame, and I think that's kind of whack. You should have to pick." I agree with him, man. Yeah, no half measures.
No, Notre Dame has this. Did
you have family members rooting for Notre Dame when you played them? Come on now.
Probably. I mean, not family members, but definitely
friends
and extended family, for sure.
Is it not going to surprise you to find out that I have never rooted for them, ever?
I can't stand Notre Dame.
12 years. Well, they're much easier.
I really cannot stand them.
I know this is about a guy. I'm throwing.
I like
shade
when they
here.
Beat Penn State, though. That was the one thing they did in the playoff.
I did root for them in that game. I will admit, they're a lot easier to root for with Freeman. When Brian Kelly was there, that was a tough sell,
dude.
I
agree. You know, Freeman's likable, and yeah, I mean, you have to appreciate when you go there. Have you been there?
I have not. My brother has actually gone. He said it's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And he said everyone's also like disarmingly, frustratingly nice.
Also
about
true.
It.
Welcome to Notre Dame Stadium. You'll get that about 38,000 times when you're there. But it is, it is a mecca for football. And it's just, what I don't love is, you know, the no conference thing, the have your cake and eat it too type stuff. But I guess they've earned it. But I don't hate to see them lose. And I look forward to the game in a couple weeks. It's going to be. As big a game.
This is his biggest test, too. I can't wait for it, like, just to see
how it looks against Notre Dame's defense.
That's a big boy defense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he was talking. I mean, I did ask him about the red zone stuff because Pat has mentioned it so many times.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different beast, but if you can hang in there in that game, you can hang against any team in the country's defense.
No, and it's obviously not going to count against your ACC championship hopes, but it's a profile game and a game that, frankly, I'm talking about this morning, like, Pitt hasn't found a way to win a game with high stakes against a better team. They've done it when the chips were down and they were not favored or they were significant underdogs. This is one that's...
It means a lot to Pitt, too. You're not just in a spoiler role here.
It's a huge image game.
I mean, if Pitt wins out, I'm not going to say it, but we all know if they win out in the three teams they would beat to win out, what that resume would suddenly look like, even if they get boxed out of the very weird ACC championship race.
Yeah, Pitt has the most upside on its profile of any ACC team remaining, given the schedule that it has left. If they don't get to the championship game, I still think it's a tough draw to get into the 12. But of the teams in the ACC that provided, you know, they all stumble, Pitt will have, I mean, they've won an 8-game winning streak. And
I would look at it, if I were the committee, I would say, wait a minute, they were a 2-2 team before they put this guy in.
Yep.
They're 8-0 with three ranked wins after they put this guy
in. That's what I said to you off the air the other day. If they docked Florida State for losing Jordan Travis. Why wouldn't they give Pitt credit for a quarterback change
that's made a big difference?
Personnel definitely plays into it. Available personnel or new personnel. So this is a big November, and that's what you're in this for, is to play meaningful football in November. We've got a bunch of it here in Pittsburgh, including the Steelers and Pitt.
All right, Pat. Thanks for swinging by, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.